Chapter 23. Phrobos was located in a group of several hundred rarely visited worlds known as the Zizi Cluster. These planets all dated back to the early days of the Oasis, and each one recreated the environment of some classic text adventure game or MUD, multi-user dungeon. Each of these worlds was a kind of shrine, an interactive tribute to the Oasis's earliest ancestors. Text adventure games, often referred to as interactive fiction by modern scholars, used text to create the virtual environment the player inhabited. The game program provided you with a simple written description of your surroundings, then asked what you wanted to do next. To move around or interact with your virtual surroundings, you keyed in text commands telling the game what you wanted your avatar to do. These instructions had to be very simple, usually composed of just two or three words, such as "go south" or "get sword." If a command was too complex, the game's simple parsing engine wouldn't be able to understand it. By reading and typing text, you made your way through the virtual world, collecting treasure, fighting monsters, avoiding traps, and solving puzzles until you finally reached the end of the game. The first text adventure game I'd ever played was called Colossal Cave, and initially, the text-only interface had seemed incredibly simple and crude to me. But after playing for a few minutes, I quickly became immersed in the reality created by the words on the screen. Somehow, the game's simple two-sentence room descriptions were able to conjure up vivid images in my mind's eye. Zork was one of the earliest and most famous text adventure games. According to my Grail diary, I'd played the game through to the end just once, all in one day, over 4 years ago. Since then, in a shocking display of unforgivable ignorance, I'd somehow forgotten two very important details about the game. 1. Zork began with your character standing outside a shuttered white house. 2. Inside the living room of that white house, there was a trophy case. To complete the game, every treasure you collected had to be returned to the living room and placed inside the trophy case. Finally, the rest of the quatrain made sense. The captain conceals the jade key in a dwelling long neglected, but you can only blow the whistle once the trophies are all collected. Decades ago, Zork and its sequels had all been licensed and recreated inside the Oasis as stunning, three-dimensional immersive simulations, all located on the planet Phrobos, which was named after a character in the Zork universe. So, the dwelling long neglected, the one I'd been trying to locate for the past 6 months, had been sitting right out in the open on Phrobos this entire time, hiding in plain sight. I checked the ship's navigational computer. Traveling at light speed, it would take me just over 15 minutes to reach Phrobos. There was a good chance the Sixers would beat me there. If they did, there would probably already be a small armada of Sixer gunships waiting in orbit around the planet when I dropped out of light speed. I would have to fight my way through them to reach the surface and then either lose them, or try to find the jade key with them still breathing down my neck. Not a good scenario. Luckily, I had a backup plan, my ring of teleportation. It was one of the most valuable magic items in my inventory, looted from the horde of a red dragon I'd slain on Gygax. The ring allowed my avatar to teleport once a month to any location in the Oasis. I only used it in dire emergencies as a last-ditch means of escape, or when I needed to get somewhere in a big hurry. Like right now. I quickly programmed the Vonnegut's onboard computer to autopilot the ship to Phrobos. I instructed it to activate its cloaking device as soon as it dropped out of hyperspace, then locate me on the planet's surface and land somewhere nearby. If I was lucky, the Sixers wouldn't detect my ship and blast it out of the sky before it could reach me. If they did, I'd be stuck on Phrobos with no way to leave while the entire Sixer army closed in on me. I engaged the Vonnegut's autopilot, then activated my ring of teleportation by speaking the command word Brundle. When the ring began to glow, I said the name of the planet where I wished to teleport. A world map of Froboz appeared on my display. It was a large world, and like the planet Middletown, its surface was covered with hundreds of identical copies of the same simulation. In this case, recreations of the Zork playing field.